we are in Launching Your Faith. How to have faith alive in the 21st century. Some of these things you've heard before. Some of them have maybe been a long time since you've heard them. But why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do in the home church where we are? And we're actually talking about being involved in service in my home church. Well, wait a minute. You know, you see the churches where it's just the pastor that does everything, right? The pastor and a couple of people that really like to help him out. That's who makes the church run, right? Wait a minute. You shouldn't be saying, right. What's wrong with you guys? Anyway, how many know that every person in the family of God has a part to play? Come on, turn to each other and say, you got an important part to play. You got an important part to play. It takes every person in the church to make the church what it is. Now, I believe that the Lord has a plan for the church. The thing that Jesus said he would build, if you look at the Word of God, and we build our faith on the Word. If you look at the Word of God, we want to cooperate. We want to think like he thinks. We want to act like he acts. We want to keep changing so we can be better at that. And then we want to be involved in what he's doing. And what did he say? I will build my church. So what is the church to be? It's his body on earth, his family, the reflection of his grace and glory. The Bible says, hold fast the head. Who is the head? Jesus. No question. If you're involved in a place where Jesus isn't the living head of that church, you're not involved in the true church of Jesus Christ. He is it. He's the one we love. He's the only one who died for you and for me, who was buried and who rose again from the dead. He took your sins and mine. He's ever living, the Bible says, to make intercession, to pray for his saints. But he's got a purpose for his church so that the church can reflect the glory of God and show him to the world. How many know we got a big job to do? So we come here in church and then we go out the doors and see what's over the door there. When you leave on Sunday morning after being here, you are now entering your what? Mission field. We have people to love and people to reach. And how many know too often today the church is known for what it's against rather than who it's for? And instead of loving people and reflecting the glory he wants us to go with, we're known for what we're against. And that's not what the Bible has in mind. God has so many great things, positive things, wonderful things planned for his people and for the people who don't yet know him. What does the scripture say? For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Old Testament Israel was supposed to reflect Jesus to the entire earth. They didn't do that fully. I believe the Lord still loves them, has a great plan. We believe and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We believe they're still God's chosen people, but they need a fresh baptism of his presence and to see the suffering servant who is now the king of all. Don't they? Come on, church. Come on, everybody with me? But he's got a body. He's got a church. He's got a family that also needs to reflect his glory to the earth today. So we learn. We grow. We learn how to be more of what he wants us to be. And service in my home church is one of those things. Why do we do what we do? Because we love him. Because we love him. And you'll see in your notes this morning, as we give our lives, we surrender to him and respond to his love and mercy, we give back to him what he's done for us. And your first fill-in comes right in. We serve because we, please say it with me, love him. Come on, we serve because we love him. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of activity. But what's the heart behind it all? We serve because we love him. And we're grateful to be in his family. So we each have a part. EPI. Say that with me. EPI. Every person involvement. So you've had two fill-ins already. One is love. The second is every. Every person involvement. That's what it's to be in the family of God. In the family of God, every person has a part. What's the heart of service. That's what we're looking at this morning. God has called us to service, you know, from the very beginning. You take a look at his instruction in Genesis 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. Man had a job to do, a service responsibility, something given to us by God to do. Some of you have heard of Dr. Spyros Zonaitis, and he said this, a great man of God, a real theologian, and his quote is this: man was always meant to work. Doesn't mean we're saved by our works, guys. We're saved by grace, but we have a responsibility before God. Man was always meant to work. God intended for him to have something useful to do and to enjoy it. Work only became a drudgery after Genesis 3, verses 17 through 19. After the curse came on the earth. And after the curse came because of man's sin, then work became a drudgery, a toil, weeds, and all sorts of problems. But who redeemed us from the curse? Come on, who redeemed us from the curse? Jesus did. And aren't you glad? And so the nobility of his presence and his life and vibrancy that comes in what we get to do as an expression of his grace and his life and his love. Now, how many times have you heard of, or possibly even been there yourself, somebody who absolutely loved the opportunity to work, but they become injured and they can't do as much as they used to do. And the frustration that's in their heart because of it. How many know even those who aren't in a strengthened position can be the best intercessors and prayers in the family of God? Every person has something we can do. Some people, when they retire, all of a sudden go through a real shaking of a lack of sense of belonging or a sense of substance and worth because there's so much involved in what work accomplishes for us. That's actually a God-given gift called work to us. Did you always consider your job a gift? Okay, don't answer that. Not always. All right, our service brings glory to God. Number two, our service brings glory to God. He's given us the strength, the capabilities, the mind, the abilities to be able to serve him. Look at the scripture, Romans 12, 1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your, please say it with me, reasonable service. What does the scripture say? You give your whole self to him, body, soul, and spirit, and that's just your reasonable service. So instead of walking around like I'm the servant, give me the badge, the servant of the ages, he says, this is just your reasonable service. You give him your whole life, body, soul, and spirit, and you serve him. That's his calling. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you and whom you have from God. How many know you are not your own? Come on. You are not your own. What does the Bible say? You were bought at a price. Who paid the price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It doesn't mean you just get involved in singing on Sunday, but with our actions. How can I help? What can I do? Instead of saying that window needs to be washed, maybe you say instead, can you get me the window washing stuff? Where do I find that? How can I wash that? Instead of seeing refuse on the ground, you don't just walk by it. A real servant of the Lord says, I'm going to pick that up and throw it away. You hear what I'm saying? It's who we are. It's ingrained in what we think and what we do. And maybe if something's not straight up there coming in, you straighten it up. And if somebody, if we forgot and we left this little signpost out and you're the last one out the door, you bring the signpost in. Or maybe if it's fallen down on the street, you pick it up, you stop your car. You see what I'm saying? It's not just someone else's job. All of us have service that we can do. Can I take out the garbage, wash the windows, set up the chairs? What can I do? Christianity versus self. Number three. Jesus says, lay your life down. Matthew 20, verse 27. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your what? The New King James uses the word slave. Let him be your slave. I want to say this really loud, and I'd like you to boom it out with me. God owns us. Turn to each other and say, God owns me. How about you? God owns us. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm retired. I've been there, done that. I don't need to do that anymore. In fact, what I do, I have a gift. I sit and watch. And I get critical if it's not done right. What's wrong with you guys? No, he's got something incredible for you to do. Every one of us, he has something absolutely incredible for you to do. Again, even if you have physical issues or ailments and you can't get out and shovel the bark, or you can't do the bark in the beauty beds or whatever, you can pray and you can become the best intercessor anybody in this church has ever seen. As you seek God and intercede, that's a labor of love and a vital service that's necessary. But today, let's talk in real terms. And hopefully this isn't any of our attitudes, but what's happening in the world itself. What do people love to take?
Selfies.
You know, selfies will get you into trouble, right? You heard about the unfortunate gentleman a couple of weeks ago who was taking a picture, a selfie of he and his girlfriend at the Palouse Falls back where we were at for 35 years. He just backed up so he could get a better shot and backed up and went right over the falls and killed himself. So what happens? Selfies, man, everything selfies. Are you like me? This is kind of an aside. Are you like me? I rarely go to Facebook because I can't stand a lot of what's on Facebook. Are you like me? You have everybody taking pictures of their food. Do you know, you really want to know what goes off at me when I see that? I don't care, just eat it. I really don't care. Yeah, if you like that, you know, but so you take the selfie with you and your food, and your food's all cold. What good is that? I got it for a picture. What, do you think your kids are going to save that for posterity someday? Hey, 80 years ago, Dad ate lasagna. You can do whatever you want. It's just a pet peeve for me. I can't stand that. Okay, that was not in my notes this morning. That was all just for free. Anyway, but you know, it's I do what I want on my own terms, when I want, how I want, and don't bug me. It's not popular today to live for a cause that's much bigger than ourselves. You take a look at what happened in World War II. The World War II issue came along, and we had kids 15 and 16 signing up saying, I'm 18, I'm 19, send me to the battle. Living for a cause beyond themselves. And pretty soon, you know, you see, I read an article one time that talked about the transformation in our country that happened in the 50s. And it became the provision. And because the World War II generation, fantastic generation, came home having fought and won the war. And all of a sudden, they began to work hard in the same fashion. And a lot of them had worked that way all along. And the provision hit. And pretty soon, instead of living for heaven someday, I was living for my second car in my double car garage. And I wanted provision now, and I wanted self to be graduated right now. I wanted what I want, when I want, on my terms, instead of living for a cause that's beyond myself. Why should I serve? Are you trying to take advantage of me? You just want me to work for the church for free? What's wrong with you? Why don't you just hire somebody to do the work? Now, I know nobody here has ever had that attitude. But too often, it's an affliction of soul that happens today. This is family. Let me ask you a question. How many had chores growing up as kids in the home? So, if you took the garbage out and came in and gave your dad a bill, how many know? Not if you wanted to live. Not if you want to live under my roof. This is part of family. And, you know, I just like with your kids, I'm sure you did the same thing. You can teach little kids how to put some things in the nowadays dishwasher. Or to help mom or dad. And because it takes a family to make a family work. Right, church? So there's responsibilities in it. And as my children grew and became faithful and learned those, I was able to give them bigger and bigger responsibilities. I used to love being on a trip. We'd go somewhere for a conference or a ministry and come home, and my little kids would come running out to see me. And oh, man, they just wanted to bring in my bags for me, right? And so, you know, you pull out that little bag and they couldn't do it. So Dad would always reach down and put my hand over his or theirs and do it together. And I would make a big deal out of thank you so much for helping Dad. And I'd always look at him and say, aren't you glad Dad was here? They don't say that anymore. No, anyway. But family chores, family responsibilities, it takes a family to make a family work. Some say, well, I'm not going to serve, I'll send money. Do you know what we've observed over the years? Can I just be honest with you? What we've observed, and I don't mean this harshly, I'm just going to bring a factual statement to you. The people who become most critical of any church anywhere are the people who don't serve and don't give. Because if they don't have a servant's heart, they usually don't have a giving heart either. It's a part of what's lacking inside the Spirit. Let me show you why. Let me show you what the Bible says. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Luke 12, verse 24, 34 rather. Say it with me, would you please? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Listen, you know what's crazy? People will give their time and attention to whatever has their passion. Maybe it's landscaping and yard work, and they just love it. Or how about pets? Man, multi-billion dollar industry. They'll give their time and attention to their pets or computers or sports teams. Passionate. You know, people who won't sing out in church, don't bug me. That's just, I'm not expressive in front of their TVs at home. Go, yeah, man, oh man. Ever been to my house on a great score? That's what I do. That's what Sherry does. That's what Pastor Sherry does. Or we'll see both of us. Well, have you ever been over to our house and it's a championship game and we're winning? We're both up and every goal. Yeah, wow. We're just not shy about it. Okay. But they'll give their effort and their attention to their charities or service groups or the recreational activities or to the clubs or but serving in the church seems like a waste of time or I'm too busy or it's the pastor's job. A servant's heart says instead, service is valuable and worth my time. Watch. Listen, this is important. A grateful heart moves from an observing heart and being served to one who loves Jesus, loves the family, and your fill-in wants to serve. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. He thinks differently. You move from observing, being served, to one who loves Jesus, loves the family of God, and wants to serve. Jesus is our pattern servant. Jesus. To be like Jesus. See, well, we all want to be like Jesus. And I want to be like Jesus to do the signs and wonders he did. Have you ever been like me where you see the scripture where Peter walked by and his shadow healed people? Have you ever wanted that to happen for you? You know, you walked by a crowd, looked back, hoping something happened, and nothing did. I guess I have some growing room. But man, oh man, Jesus is our example. He's the one. What did he do? If you're going to be like Jesus in signs and wonders, we need to be like Jesus and serve like Jesus. The way up is down. Jesus chose. Watch the mind of the Spirit. Watch the mind of Jesus. Philippians 2, 5 and 8, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a what? Servant, coming in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Guys, can you imagine what it would have been like for Jesus, who was always with his Father, with all the glory of heaven, laying it aside and saying, okay, these people aren't going to save themselves. I'll go. And he sets it all aside to be born as a baby in a stone trough, not a cute little wooden manger, but a stone animal trough in Bethlehem. Jesus chose humility. Jesus chose humility. He wasn't trying to be seen. The scripture says in Matthew 12:16-18, he warned them not to make him known. He abhorred fame and recognition, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen." 1 Peter 5, all of you be submissive to one another, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The scriptures continue, Isaiah 57, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. Mark 9:35, anyone desires to be first, he shall be what? Last of all and servant of all. And of course, Jesus' words, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will, your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Now, Jesus' service proved his love and friendship to us, like we should for him and for one another. John 15, greater love has no one than this, lay down one's life for his friends. So the kiss of nobility, the kiss of the anointing that is upon your tangible physical labor of service comes because it's birthed in a heart of loving response to God and loving response to one another. Serve like Jesus. Growth begins in natural service. Service is our way of life and helps your feeling is prove your faith. Helps prove, helps demonstrate your faith. You show me your words, and you demonstrate your words are real by what you do. The Bible says in James, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. What is the profit? For as the body without the spirit is dead, watch what the Bible says, for the what? Faith without works is dead also. To eat spiritual food, church, we should naturally be involved in service. If you want to eat spiritual food, watch what we've seen over the years. People that remove themselves from the people of God, they take themselves away, they're not showing up hardly at all, could care less about church. All of a sudden are the same people that say, you know, I'm just not getting fed there anymore. I just don't get any spiritual food there. I guess the pastor's just not putting it out on the table. And maybe one of the questions that should be ascertained or asked of the person in their heart of hearts is, who moved? Did you pull yourself away? Are you serving? Are you loving the Lord? Are you pressing in and worshiping? Are you praying for people? What's happened in your own heart before the Lord? Because if you're going to eat spiritual food, we need to be involved in natural service. Look at what the Bible says. If anyone will not work, neither shall he what? How many heard that growing up? You ain't going to do your chores? You ain't eating tonight. We learned pretty quickly, didn't we? It's true spiritually as well. All right. Choose opportunities to serve. Your point number two on your page. Choose opportunities to serve. Now, in a family, you guys, again, kids learn responsibility. They learn character. They learn faithfulness and discipline by doing chores. As they grow in faithfulness, you can give them more responsibilities. EPI. Say it with me again. Every person involvement. Everyone in God's family needs to be involved in service, have a job to do for their own sense of value. It's a vital key to growth in the kingdom of God. A non-serving Christian, now listen, a non-serving Christian who gives the least, we're not talking about whether or not they're going to go to heaven someday, but they're not going to be the productive member of the kingdom of God that the Lord wants them to be now. So why should I serve? Why? Why should I serve? Number one, to develop a servant's heart. A servant's heart, like Jesus. Philippians 2, 5 and 7, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant. Why should I serve? Well, it develops a servant's heart within us. Secondly, to grow closer to others in the church. Can I just say something to you, what I've observed in 45 years of pastoral ministry? We can make this complex or make this simple. We live in a world today where people are rapidly on the move and social interaction through the social media can keep you distant. People sit in the same room and tweet or text one another. College dormitories are about this wide with two beds in them. And there's two computer stations. And one will email the other one will email back. And people don't know how to face-to-face communicate anymore. Conversation is becoming a lost art. Thinking is becoming a lost art. Communication, talking to one another face-to-face. It's easier to just text it out and forget it. And you know what's happening? You know what the result is? Lonely people who sit in the midst of a crowd and have no sense of connection. And how many know the family of God is to be different than that? We do our best, if you come in this place, to have 30 people contact you before you're gone. It's not a written rule. It's just you're trying to be friendly people. How many people come in the doors who have never had someone interact in a loving way with them from a church? Where maybe somebody walks in the door and they've been beaten up all week long by the world. They're confused. There's hassle. There's problems. And they're supposed to come into this refuge place where they're loved and cared for. And people get to greet them on the way in and shake their hand and greet them on the way out. And hopefully what people will always sense from this place is, you know, they sure were a friendly group of people. Crazy pastor, but friendly people. Where you know, there's a relationship that's built. I can honestly tell you, we have ministered to people for years who are very lonely. And one of the things we've said is, hey, why don't you get involved in some of the, maybe there's a service activity coming up at church, or maybe you look at each other and say, hey, can we do that together? Or there's a volunteering opportunity. Get involved in that. And all of a sudden, people begin to build friendships and caring relationships together because you get to know each other. And it works because there's an opportunity to be together. So to grow others closer to others in the church, recognize and develop leadership potential. That is one of the things that will happen. Proverbs 18, verse 16. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. There's a gifting in your life and in mine that we begin to see that gifting unfurl and unfold when we labor and serve together. To recognize the call, the anointing on and giftings in someone, we need to be able to see the servant's heart at work. Makes sense, doesn't it? The scripture says in the living, but among you, Luke 22:26, the one who serves you best will be your leader. Matthew 23:11, but he is the greatest among you shall be your servant. In Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28, Jesus called them to himself and said, you know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them, and that's the spirit behind the world. Well, rise up, be the best, everybody serves you. That's not what the heart of Jesus is. It shall not be so among you, he said to his disciples. Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be a servant. Remember, they were arguing. He's on the way to crucifixion, and they're arguing, who's going to be the greatest? And Jesus sits them down and says, guys, it's a whole different spirit here. It's all different. Whoever desires to be great, will be a servant. Desires to be first, let him be a slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life a ransom for many. Anybody ever hear the name Ralph Mahoney? Ralph Mahoney was an absolutely wonderful man of God. Used to do World Missionary Assistance Plan. World Map is what it was called. And missionary outreach and missions to all sorts of places. He wrote a text called The Shepherd's Staff. It's quite a book. And in Africa, people will walk for a day and a half to go to a conference and pick up one of these books that will take them home and help them pastor their church. And he he labored for many, many years preciously before the Lord, was a good friend of ours in Pullman. Pastor Sherry used to, he had a monthly magazine, still does, and he asked Pastor Sherry to write the questions. They had all sorts of articles in this magazine that would go out monthly to people all around the world, and he asked her to write the questions on the articles so people could get more out of it. And she did that. We actually did that together for several years. But just a wonderful man of God. And he had a book called The Making of a Leader. And in that book, he said this: if a person feels like he's too good to scrub toilets, then he needs to scrub more toilets. When that person finally sees it as an opportunity to serve God, then he's ready for more responsibility, he or she. Everybody starts with natural service and develops and demonstrates faithfulness and responsibility, willingness, capability, skills, including some leadership skills. And 1 Corinthians says, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. Some churches sadly appoint leadership based on skill or secular status or their abilities that are demonstrated on their jobs, but they've not ever proven faithfulness and overall Christian character. And what we try to do in this church is recognize, not organize a calling, but recognize a calling that's already manifested itself. So, why do we serve? What's the next reason? Opportunity to train in natural and spiritual skills. We have people here full, chock full of giftings and skills who can help and mentor others. I mean, there are people here who like to learn how to do certain things, or maybe there's other things you'd like to do, and we have people who can gift and pass on that anointing and ability to you. I'm learning from you guys all the time on different things. We get together, we do something, and you teach me a better way. Well, praise God. It doesn't matter if I'm the senior pastor or I'm 100 years old, man. I got things to learn all the way to the grave. Someone say amen. Amen, amen, Pastor Kev. We know you have stuff to learn. Go ahead. Amen. What's the fifth reason? We have opportunity to train in natural and spiritual skills, but the fifth reason is to get the job done. It's not least on the list. We got it last because you develop all sorts of other things when you serve together. But we also have jobs to get done. All right. How should I serve? How? What kind of attitude? What kind of things should happen inside? Number one, you're filling with love and goodwill. Listen, I can honestly tell you, I didn't put this down as a point, but because it's a blast. You get together with loving friends and you have a great time together. How many enjoyed serving together, getting ready for the conference we did a year ago? Come on, every hand should go up. If the hand doesn't go up, we'll talk later. I didn't enjoy that. No. But we had a good time together. And hey, guess what? We accomplished far more than what many thought we could because we worked and served together. Amen? So with love and goodwill, Galatians 5:13, through love serve one another, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Not to be seen, but because of loving obedience and worship to Jesus. Number two, with faithfulness. I should serve with faithfulness. It's a Christian opportunity. It's my Christian responsibility. Luke 17:10, when you have done all those things which you're commanded, say we're unprofitable servants. We've done which was our duty to do. I didn't come and serve at the church so you could put a golden brick up front on the pulpit saying, Kevin was here. No, it's just my responsibility. What we're called to do, right? We just work together. And I could praise so many of you for doing so many things. And there's more growth to do. And we're going to reach out and reach more people for Jesus, and we're going to serve them and love them and help them and bless them. You've been blessed because others have served to bless you. Now your service blesses them in return. By the way, you know, right? Service isn't always convenient. It's just not always convenient. I'm a little tired today, so I'm not going to serve. You might want to look around and see other people who are also tired but still serving. I said it with a smile. Go ahead and smile at each other. You know, the kingdom of God is built by tired people, right? People who work hard and serve. But somebody else is also serving so you can be blessed. And by the way, consider proper priorities. I don't have time to serve. I can't do it. There's nothing I can do. I got three nights this week. I went bowling. I worked in my yard. I did computers. I ran around the countryside. But now I don't have time to serve. So you just have to take a look at your opportunities. Number three, with commitment to tangibly demonstrate your servant's heart. Again, the scripture from James. With a commitment to serve and lay down your life for your brothers and sisters. The Bible says, present your body a living sacrifice in Romans 12, verse 1. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I yield to you. I want to serve like you want me to. I want to take the opportunities to grow and help other people. And godly service helps transform your mind into thinking like Jesus. Godly service helps transform your mind into thinking like Jesus. Okay? All right. So what are the rewards of service? What are they? Number one, you're identified with, your fill-in is, Jesus. You're identified with Jesus. May I be honest with you? Some people won't like it that you hang out with church people and your church friends and you go to serve. You get identified with Jesus. What are you doing that for? Why would you do that? What, are they just after your free labor? Well, what's wrong with those people? Why don't they hire that? Why don't you come help me at my house instead? Well, maybe you should take an opportunity to do that. But some people won't understand. You know, family, why do you hang out at church? Why do you do so much for your church family? Because it's in our heart to serve Him and then reach out to one another. Now, if I go serve all the day long at church and I don't help my neighbor in need, I haven't demonstrated the love of Jesus, right? Guess what? We're called to do both. What do you mean, Kevin? You're going to make it sound like my Christianity is supposed to be full time. Oh, yeah. If you were of the world will love its own because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word I said to you, a servant's not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. People not always like your fruit. Sometimes they'll like your fruit. Many times they'll really like the spiritual fruit, but they don't want your Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? You'll enjoy being a part of God's family. You'll enjoy being a part of Jesus' family. What's going to happen? What's the result of serving? You have a blast in being together with friends who serve and labor together. John 12, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. There where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Galatians 4, 7. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, King James says, a servant. But New King James says, a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you're an heir of God through Christ. And then number three, you're building up the body of Christ. To bless the family of God. As you take a look in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 12 through 31, Paul declares how God has made us all to need one another. Every member of the body relates together and we all have a part to play. In the same way that a human body can't say, you know, the hand can't say to the elbow, I don't need you. And you can't say to the foot, I don't need you. We all need one another. Each has a different function, but we relate together and it's all important. Do you know that you are a vital strength to your family in God? Stop long enough and consider. You are vitally important to your home church and to the kingdom of God and the family of God. Building up the body of Christ. It's your next fill-in. All are to have a servant's heart. Wait a minute, just the pastor. All are to have a servant's heart. Listen, the only way somebody can be a quote-unquote lesser Christian is if you deny the calling and responsibility of God on your life or on mine. To bury your talent. Remember, what did Jesus say about the person who buried his talent? You missed it, dude. That's today's translation. You messed up, pal. You won't be what God wants you to be and do. God builds us together and does so many powerful things as an expression of love to Him and to one another. As we serve together. So, Let me ask you some important questions, church. Are you grateful for Jesus? Have you received His love? Are you wholly His? If yes, then you'll want to show Him your love in return and be the servant He wants you to be. And that's the heart of service in your home church. There's one more scripture I want to give you. I press on. Philippians 2 or 3 verse 12 says, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. How many want to be what Jesus wants you to be? I want to be everything He wants me to be. I want to do and be and say and think like and act like what He wants. I want to be like Jesus in this earth. And this is one of the ways He works with us. I'm going to share just a couple more thoughts, and then they're going to hand out what we call our faith activators. Now, I want to tell you something about the faith activator when you get it. On the back of that, there's just a few points. I agree, I don't agree, or whatever. But on the back of that, if you have a amount of certain gifts or skills, things that you know you could help others with, or even things you desire to do, maybe you see things we haven't seen or done yet, things you'd like to do, and etc., would you please take a few extra minutes this morning and turn the faith activator over on its backside and write those things down for us? So we have your input and your thoughts, maybe those skills, gifts, and abilities that you've got that you could help with someone else, or maybe there's something you want to learn, or again, maybe you see other avenues of service that as a church we can be involved in, and you'd like to be involved in that. If you'll take time to write that out. There's a scripture, and I don't have it up here, and I'm going to finish with this thought. Psalm 110. Verse 13, if you'll just write that down on your page. Psalm 110, verse 3, not 13. Psalm 110, verse 3. You read that in a whole lot of translations, and it says a very interesting thing, but here's the key. The scripture says, thy people shall be willing in the day of your power. New King James says, your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. NIV, your troops will be willing on the day of battle. New Living, when you go to war, your people will serve you willingly. NASB, New American Standard, your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power. Out of the Message, your people will freely join you on the great day of your conquest. I want you to know the root of that word, shall be willing, shall be volunteers. The basic meaning of that verse is God is on the move, and as He moves, He does something supernatural in your life and in mine. And we want to see the power of God released today. We want to see the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven. You take a lesson like this, and it is far more than just doing a set of menial tasks. What we do as the family of God demonstrates Him to this earth, today, to these surroundings. Why do you serve together? Because we love Jesus and each other. Why do you do those things? Because we love Him. Come on, be a part. God's got a purpose and a plan for your life. He's got something for you to do. And when you come in here on Sunday morning, you find out more about Him, and then you leave this place being built up and encouraged as God has moved in your life and in mine. The day of His power. And that literally means, in the Hebrew, it means in the day of His power, my life is His free will offering. My life is His free will offering. Is your life and mine? Are our lives free will offerings to God? Whether you're cooking in the kitchen, or hauling out the garbage, or washing a window, or serving the needy, no matter what it is, it's far more than a task. It's because you and I, each of us, are free will offerings to Jesus and to one another. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You for Your grace, Your mercy, Your power, and Your might. We pray that we will serve the way You want us to serve and demonstrate Your kingdom on this earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. And they all said, please take a few minutes. If you're a guest with us this morning, we invite you to be involved in launching your faith. We encourage you to do so. And we ask you to be patient with us as we now take a few minutes to do our faith activator. And be sure on the back of the faith activator to write out if there are things you'd like to do, things you'd like to be involved in, gifts you have that you can serve other people with. Just a minute, Bill, and that you can do and what's in your heart to do. OK, so you take just a few minutes, Bill.
What was that psalm again?
Psalm 110, verse 3.
Psalm
110, verse 3. Psalm 110, verse 3. 110. Psalm 110, verse 3. You bet. And again, be sure to turn them in to Penny or to Pastor Sherry. And on the back, put gifts, capabilities, things you'd like to see done or do. Just communicate with us if you would. Would you raise your hands for the blessing, please? May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. Father, I pray now for your people as they leave this place today that they will leave strengthened, built up, encouraged in the Lord. And Father, we go out to serve you with full hearts and minds. Hearts and minds that are yielded to you. And Lord, our prayer again as we've gathered together this morning is you will pour out revival in this place, in this state, in this region, in this nation. Lord, our hearts are to see you accomplish your purpose. Now bless each one who's come here today in Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Be released in the presence of God.